Well, I'd appreciate your prayers.
You know, we have to say something when we get up here, start off. So we usually start out with, yeah, will you pray for me? But I really mean that. Really need the Lord to help us. So I'm going to try to write something on the board, and you can take the time to pray for me. Well, that's my thought this morning, is language of the heart. Been thinking some about language. It sure is a blessing. I'm thankful for the ability to communicate, and I wish I could do it better. I wish I knew how to put what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, into words. It's sometimes a struggle to be able to do it. I know people that's a lot better at it than I am, but it's very special to be able to do it, to be able to transfer what I have to you. It can be something that is almost immortalized in ways. I think about after the awful Battle of Gettysburg. Abraham Lincoln went and made an address. He wasn't even the main speaker. He went and he was kind of a secondary speaker. And the one that spoke for a long time and rambled on. Nobody remembers his name much or even what he said. But Abraham Lincoln captured something. His words were more than words almost, but it went down through history so impressive, so gave the heart that he felt, and the power of his words was almost immortalized at that time that he spoke them. And, you know, I was thinking today as I looked out across here, you're here so you can experience it. So my words could never really tell you what this setting is. I would fail to get it for everyone. But for those that aren't here listening, maybe on the internet or on a tape sometime, or maybe even possibly 10 years from now, if I had the ability to be able to say how beautiful I feel like this setting is today. I expected it to be a lot hotter. I want the future to know that for this day in Monarch, this first Monday of the meeting, that it is very temperate here. It is very nice. The weather is cool. The breeze is cool and blowing, and it's very, very beautiful setting. To be able to look here sometimes and see what I call the ascension, sometimes I'll ask my wife, "Or when are we going to ascend up to the chapel?" Because that expresses something to me. And to see God's people walking up through here in the evening with the breeze, there is something that I wish I had words to capture it. The great poets could do it, or the songwriters had the ability to do it. But I wish sometimes I could say it better than I do. But it is magical almost, or it's wonderful, it's mystical. But language is wonderful. I try sometimes to tell my wife how much she means to me. I fail at that too, but I give it a try. Language is special. To be able to do it. We have natural barrier of language that we try to overcome so that we can communicate our hearts to one another. But do you know sometimes even within the language, it's hard to communicate because we don't understand one another within the language? I remember years ago, I was on the job and we was going along and the conversation was trivial, but it came up to a hypothetical situation of a economic disaster in the country and everything falls and there is an anarchy. You know, well, I don't know if you've ever had those thoughts, but we got into that discussion one time. And when we got into that discussion, I said, well, you know, I feel like that I could survive. I feel like I know would know how to survive if I wasn't able to buy and wasn't able to do that. And the guy with me said, "Oh yeah, yeah." He said, "I could get streetwise." He said, "I know what to do." And we talked for a little while, and this. And before long, I started think, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about?" All he was saying, yeah, you would have to be ruthless. You would have to know where people keep stuff. You'd have to know how to get it. No, wait a minute. I told him. I said, I'm not talking about clubbing somebody in the head. We was kind of crossing up our words, so we thought we was on the same page. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm talking about knowing what tree I can eat part of. I ain't talking about breaking into somebody and stealing their stuff or I ain't overcoming somebody that way. I said, I was thinking about being able to, you know, shoot a squirrel out of a tree. I thinking about being able to dig up some roots of something. I'm talking about a different survival. I mean, we was totally missed it. Totally missed it. And it was because we didn't have the same experience of life. Didn't understand what one another was trying to express and say. Do you know who understands everything? There's someone that everybody here can talk to. No matter how feeble you are in your language. Now, think about this. Just follow me a little bit. There were scriptures, a number of them, where Jesus, the scripture says, and he perceived their thoughts. He knew that they was just tempting him. But he understood and perceived them totally by what their heart was giving off. Not their words. And I thought here today, I thought, well, you know, the service leader says it's time for the word, and probably everyone goes through this kind of little thing like I do. I wonder who's going to preach today. And to be honest with you, I was sitting there thinking, I wonder who's going to preach today. And that's what, you know, everybody, I wonder who's going to preach today. And, you know, there's probably, I don't know, there's a few hundred people here today, and everyone that was paying attention, and everybody that wasn't paying attention, had thoughts. And I wonder what they were. I wonder if I could have been like Jesus. I wonder what I could have known as I got up. I wouldn't want to, but I wonder if I did. I would think out of a crowd like this, somebody might have thought, well, good, I want to hear what he's got to say. I mean, possibly somebody said, oh, no. Am I going to have to go through this? I don't know about that, but there can be a variety of thoughts that happen. And do you know that's who you are? I mean, I meet you out there. I wouldn't expect for you to say to me, I really don't like the way you preach or the way you stand up. I don't like those kind of things with you. Most people are much more courteous than that. And if you're not that way, we would think of you being very forward and unmannered to do that. But there's a language that we speak. There's a language that we speak. And we don't speak it to one another. We speak it to God. Our lives speak all the time. But we don't hear one another in this language. I don't talk to you all together in this language. You'll get parts of it, but you can't hear it. But I want us to be stirred about something today, because I'm a person that really, really, really believes in the reality of what we're doing. I don't want no facades. I don't want no sects and creeds. I don't want no dogmas. I don't want anything but what the Lord has for us. I don't want no hypocrisies about things. I want to get down to the realities of who we are. Who I am in my private moments is who I really am. I am mannerly. I do the things I gotta do. I want it to be real that I do it. But I am somebody when I'm by myself too. I have thoughts all the time. Do you think all the time? I don't know what might have went through your mind. Well, who's going to get up and preach? Well, there he is. Well, he. I've never seen him wear that shirt before. I don't know if I've wore it before or not. I don't think so. Honey, have I worn the shirt before? I don't think so. I have a new pair of pants on. Maybe you think, hey, he's got new clothes. I've never seen him wear that before. Maybe you notice those kind of things. I don't know. But if I was the Lord, I'd have heard your heart. I'd have heard you, whether it was negative or where it was good or those kind of things. I would have heard it. Well, I want to look at a scripture in Zephaniah 3 and 9. It says, for then will I turn the people to the pure, no, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Now, you know how the people was back then. No, probably a lot like they are today, but there was a lot of that. And God had dealt with them, and he had a people, and he tried to work with them, and he kept working with them, and they kept going away in these things. And there was even one account where the children of Israel had married off and to the point that they had taken on the other people and their language until the children couldn't even speak Hebrew. And God was bothered by the fact that he had told them not to, and they did. And now this is something being lost here. But I think there's much more than the idea of this pure language. I'm going to give you something so you can work together, so you can understand some culture. We can't understand. Do you know I can understand a lot about, when you stand up and testify about what the Lord does, that witnesses to me because I know the language. I know what that language is. But I want us to go farther than that, that God wants to do something more for you and I than just any kind of surface religious experience. God wants to do something more for us, something real in us, than just us getting along or us feeling like that we have to be saved because we belong to the group or something like that. God wants to bring to us a pure religion. It's a religion of the heart. He wants to give us a language of the heart. Now consider it. I suppose that you will. You do believe that the Lord hears everything. I believe God. When I say in my spirit, in my heart, I believe when I say thank you, Lord, I believe He hears me. I believe the Lord hears all of it. What are you saying today to the Lord? What are you saying when trouble comes? Is there a praise in the heart? I mean, this is where it's really at. Of what is really becoming out of us is a language that we speak to God through who we are that we know He hears. When I complain in my spirit, I don't have to do it with my lips. He hears the language. When I am discontented with my life, I remember one time at home, Brother Tony had a lesson and it stuck with me. He said in this lesson, he said, when you're who are you complaining at? When you're discontented, who are you discontented at? You can only be discontented at the one that can do it. So who am I pointing my discontentment at? Who am I content? Who am I pointing my dissatisfactions of life, my unhappiness of life? Who am I saying that to? There's only one that can hear it. There's only one that's responsible for it. There's only one that can do anything about it, and that's the one we're speaking to. I don't like the way you made me, Lord. Well, who would say such a thing out loud? who would say, I don't like the position I'm in, Lord. You've done it wrong. No, I don't know of anybody that would stand up here and say it. But we don't have to say it. Because we say it with the language of the heart. We speak it out. And you know, the Lord wants us to have a praise in our heart. He wants us to have something that we speak to Him in joy. Unspeakable. That God's doing something in my life. I won't turn there to this passage, but there's a scripture to where it says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And I've thought about what kind of a condition there must have been in the world at that point to say such a thing about them. That the only thing that come out of them, I believe that it was more than the language and the actions that you could see outwardly. I believe that it was our great God listening's ears to the hearts of man. That the only thing that was continually rising up from that voice was the voice of lust, and the voice of contention, the voice of covetousness, and envies and wickedness was coming up out of their heart. There was no contentment in God. He listened and He listened. And the only thing He could hear, the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart, their voices ringing up to Him through their heart language, only evil. He never heard a praise to God, a thank you to God, a joy to God, a thanksgiving to God for who He was. Then His ear trained on Noah. His ear trained on Noah, and he heard from Noah's heart, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, help us. Because we live in a time that is a unique time, I believe, to history. I know that there's nothing new under the sun in the forms of evils and the way men. But there is a unique time right now to us. Because we're so busy. Well, people have been busy. But it's push button. It's fast. We're cranked. I mean, I know what it is to try to set it alight. You know, they started making these rounds. And I've had people say, I don't like him. Hey, give me rounds. Because I can tie myself, get up there and try to zip right on through them. I get up there to a light and a red light, and I'm sitting there, and there ain't a car on either side. I'm sitting there going, give me a break. Come on, let's go. It's the kind of world we live in. But I'm going to tell you something. God hears that heart. God is hearing all of the discontentment, the murmurings. Life ain't going right. I don't have it right. Lord, I'm not satisfied with what you made me, how you made me, where I fit in. I'm not satisfied. All of that rises up without any words have to be said about it. And I know that we want to be courteous with one another and think about, but I want us to think about something today. We serve God. We love God. We have a relationship with God, and we have a language that He understands of us. And I think it's right. I think our God wants us to be honest enough to say to Him, Lord, I'm having a battle here with having who I am. I'm having a battle with this. Help me, Lord. I think there's a language that you can send out. But I want us to be careful that we just don't think that we can just go and do it and say anything. And that we're okay and religion's right. And I'm saved because I belong to the group and I do real well in all these things. Because I got something inside that I want us all to focus on today and look at. And look at what comes out of that. There was a scripture in the Bible where a woman comes and puts her offering in. The widow's mite, right? And Jesus said. He pointed it out. Did you see that? I didn't see nothing. Did you hear? Who but Jesus could know whether the woman had a hidden fortune or not? He saw it. It spoke to him. There's someone that loves God. She gave more than all of them gave. Right there. That's what I'm talking about. Right there. No fanfare. No big thing. She spoke the language that I hear. She loves me. She just said it. She just told me she loved me. to say I appreciate in the middle of our battles. It's got to come outward. I know it's got to come outward. I was working with a guy one day and we was going down the hill kind of rapidly. Me and this guy and I tripped. I caught my feet. We was in the woods. It's a big rock bar, we call it. Just big piles of rocks. And I just went head over heels through them rocks. Just thumpity thump. I mean, just, I felt like I'd been hit in 100 places the time I stopped. And when I landed, I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And the guy I was with said, "What? What did you say?" I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And he said, "Why would you thank Jesus for that?" And you know, I struggled for an answer for a bit. I mean, why did I thank the Lord for that? I thought, well, is it because I didn't break anything? No, it wasn't because of that, because I wasn't sure that I hadn't. I had another incident but where I come home and it was in the winter and I had a pipe that burst and my son happened. I say happened, it was the Lord. Because he went in to check something in the house and he come out of the house, he heard the water start. I was gone for weeks, okay? And he heard the water, when it sprung, he heard it. Nobody in the house for days, he happened to just in it and heard it and turned the water off. And I made the comment, I said, "I thank the Lord for that." And my son says, "You would have thanked him anyway." I thanked the Lord that my house wasn't flooded. And he said, "You'd have thanked him anyway." I guess I would have. Because it's something else, see. It isn't that I fell or it isn't that I didn't get hurt. It's that I need the grace. I need the Lord. That's why. If you allow this, Lord, as a part of my life, you must be right. If you allowed him to stop that, it must be right. If you let him not stop it, it must be right. There's a language that we're supposed to speak. That is a pure language that the Lord gives us. And the way he does it, he changes our hearts. So that our language coming out is a pure language to him. What we think, folks, is I know that we think all kinds of things. Temptation is wrapped up in thought. I mean, you start thinking about things. We have a lot of thoughts. But there's a language that God hears that we speak through our thought process, through the way we think and feel about things. When you see a brother that you might not just be wrapped up with or knit, as the brother preached, and you see that brother, and there is that, yeah, him. You just spoke to God. Not me. But you spoke to God. Folks, we can justify those things. We can call them unimportant. We can do that. But if the Lord was here, he would turn and say, You better be careful. I heard that. I know that in your heart and your life. It's why it's so important, folks, that we deal with the Lord as a personal Savior, as a personal God that hears me and knows me and understands me, and I work with Him. And when I have feelings that I shouldn't have, I right away recognize, Lord, I know You know. I know You hear this, and I want my language to be to You to be praise and glory and come out of me of what I'm supposed to be in You. What do you think as the Father listened to His Son Jesus? What do you think He heard in the moments that the Lord was quiet in with His natural mouth? What words was going back to the Father? Surely the Father knew what the Son was doing. What do you think that was going back through those times that people wasn't treating Him right? Was it going back, I wonder if I made a mistake here? Father, what'd You get me into? I don't think so. I think that the thoughts was going back, glory to God. Glory to God. My Father, You've put me right where I'm supposed to be. And now this awful trial, this place that the Lord's going to come and win our salvation, and He comes to that garden experience. We need garden experiences. God puts us to garden experiences. And we come to those places, Thy will be done. And you know, sometimes we can deal with the greater things better than we can do with the small. But why are we trying to conquer the great before we conquer the small? Well, Jesus went to the cross, but His was still thinking. The language was still right. There was another couple people in the scriptures. Well, let's look first in 2 Peter, familiar scripture. 2 Peter 3. Oh, it says a lot here about this. Oh, I'm going to go back in 9th verse and says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, you believe that? Scripture says it. I believe it. I believe that time will come. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, conversation is usually took in the way of speaking together, but surely it means more than that. It's about life's actions, all that we do, our whole conversation to do it. But what about when you're not involved? What about when nobody's involved? What about when I'm not around the saints? What about when I'm out in the garden by myself or in the yard or in the woods? Or what about if I'm out doing my job? What about the different things that comes? What am I saying then? We've had wonderful warnings about the day of the internet. Oh, it's dangerous, folks. It's in the midst. We've got it to deal with. We do. It's on hand, folks. There's no backing it up, right? It's on hand. There's grace for it. There's power for it. There isn't any standards built around it that we're kicking again. No, it's available, right? It's open, but folks, it's dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous. We don't want provoking thoughts. Because we speak a language. That's why our heart language to God. Because God hears everything we say and do. It's because you may not know what my thoughts are about what I see. But God heard my thoughts about what I saw. I may not say it out loud with my lips, but I say it out loud with my heart. God hears that. That language goes up pure to Him, clear to Him. It's a clear language to God. God knows it altogether about it. There isn't any facades to God. We are naked and undone. We're totally open before Him. Our language of the heart is clear to God, totally clear. And seeing that all these things are dissolved, then what manner of persons ought we to be? In all holy conversation. And so I want to take it to this level because it's where it really's at. What am I transmitting to the ears that can hear it? Now I'm going to say something here. I believe there's a part of a heart language that the devil hears. I think he hears it real clear. Because I know this, when my heart's full of praise, he has to just back off. He must know something. Because when my heart's full of thanksgiving and praise to God, he ain't got nowhere to eat full with nothing. When I'm, but I want to tell you something, when people start speaking lustful, when they start speaking envies, when they had that odd against their brother, a devil hears that. It's a drawing card to him. Right, there's a place. But this says that because we know this, what manner of persons ought we to be? I'm looking more for the reality than the show of it. Lord, help me in my heart. And folks, listen, I want to say this in the fear of God because I know the problems I've had in my life. That's why I can say this. I know the problems that I had in my life. Of the frustrations that I can feel and of the murmuring that I can feel and of the temptation that the devil has for me to think and feel things, those kind of things, and for me to realize that I'm pointing that to my God. Lord, help us. Scripture, well, I was thinking about the you remember the time to where there was a man named Nathanael. And they went and told Nathanael, come. I want you to see, I want you to see this man. I want you to come visit this man named Jesus. Nathanael was a little skeptical. Can any good thing come out of Galilee? Is there any, what of Nazareth, anything? What is this? But he come. And he comes and Jesus says of Nathanael coming, here's a true Israelite. Here's a true Israelite in whom there's no guile. Well, Nathanael was, I've never met this man. I've never met him. And he says, how do you know me? I asked that. How could he have known him? Because they talked in the heart language. And he said, reminded him of under the fig tree. And Nathanael, well, I know what you mean now. I mean, my God. I don't even, it doesn't even explain much about that. I'd really like to know that testimony. I think I'm going to ask him one of these days about that. Because that's pretty fascinating. What exactly did you do under that fig tree? Tell us about that. But he knew. Oh, he knew. And I want to tell you, God, Jesus knew it. Because he visited with Nathanael and heard Nathanael's heart. He heard his heart. And you know, if Nathanael went away from that experience and had all of these other things in his heart, Jesus would have known it too. But he said, here is a true Israelite. One is indeed. No guile in him. This I talk with this one. This one talks with me. Folks, we're responsible today. We are responsible. And many times we live in this idea That somehow salvation is something independent that I own or I have. It isn't. Jesus is salvation. And having Him is salvation. And if you don't have Him, you don't have salvation. And if you get away from Him, you don't have our salvation. Jesus is salvation. The relationship that we have with Jesus is everything. So I want to encourage you today to consider that then more and to take responsibility deeper in your life, more in your life, because I want to tell you, you are speaking to God all the time. He hears your language. He understands how you feel, what you're saying. And to us that love the Lord, we can say, I'm so glad the Lord understands me when nobody else does. But if you're not, you can say, I don't want Him to understand me. I don't want Him to see and understand the things that I have in my life. But He does anyway. So picture, my poor words can do it. Think about what He wants to hear. What do you want to tell Him? You know, He wants thanksgiving. He wants us to be thankful. Have a thankful heart. You say, well, thankful for the good weather. How about thankful for the bad weather? Now, I know we're thankful for it. And God answers prayer, and we love God for that. But if God knows better and does something better, let's all say, thank you, Jesus. Maybe next year at Monarch, everybody get together and pray, and it will be cooler than this year. Mid-70s all week, maybe about 60-some at night in the 70s. Maybe it'll be 110 today and cool off to 95. But if it does, let's thank God. Thank the Lord that we can do it in that kind of weather too. I want to show the Lord just how much I appreciate Him, and I'm going to stick it out, sweat, do all those things. Praise the Lord. The victory. We have something that the Lord hears in our heart. Oh, would it be one thing to say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done that way for us, and then say, on the other stuff, You know, Job, I want to tell you, Job is somebody in the Scriptures to me. Because after it all, you know what he said? The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. It's hard to lose, isn't it? It's better not to have something than have it and lose it. But you know what? Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord when it all seems to be falling against me. My heart still says, thank you, Lord. I've got so much. You've done so much for me. You've saved me out of so much. You've delivered me from so much. You've helped me so many times. You've proven yourself over and over and over and been stable to me and solid to me. The Lord wants us to be a joyful people. Folks, a joyful people. Not a run down people, discourage people, always saying to the Lord, it's not good enough. What you've done is not enough. Lord, you got to do it. Lord, no, what you've done is enough. Lord, thank you for what you've done. If you don't do anything else for this poor soul, you've done enough. You've done so much for me. Lord, help us to have a heart, a language of the heart that speaks to God, to us. And oh, I want to tell you, I went away from it some and I long to have it back. And sometimes I do wake up and do it. But I remember a time that all my waking moments, I mean all of them, it just seemed like wake up in the middle of the night and this, I wasn't doing it with my lips. My heart was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live for you. Thank you. I wake up in the mornings just with, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me this day. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you so much for my life that you've given me. All the thankfulness coming out of our heart, a joy of life, a contentment with life. Lord, I'm so contented with what you've done for me. Speaking always through that. And folks, listen, it's so much better to pity and love than to be wrathful and hateful. You ever had that hatefulness in you? that pit of hate or bitterness in you, it's so much better off to send God the praise of the pity. Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, help them that come against me, because they're only going to have to be stand before you. Lord, what goes up? Oh, I've told this story many times, but several years ago I had a guy that kind of roughed me up and was abusive to me. He had a gun to my head and done all these things. And be honest with you, he couldn't hurt me. He hit on me. He pounded. He done all this stuff. He couldn't hurt me. The Lord just protected me. He just did. And I just felt like I come away from that situation at the time with victory. I tried to soothe it. I tried to do it right. I come away without being retaliated. I felt like the Lord gave me such grace and protected me and all that. But the battle didn't end there. The battle just started. And the battle started when the very day that we took off, and my family's all asleep, and I'm driving along at night and in the middle of the night, and then along comes the old enemy and says, sure treated you bad. Uh-huh. How would you respond differently if you had to do it again? That kind of thinking? And you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had to recommit that a number of times. Because, and every time that I started feeling like, boy, I coulda, I was talking my heart language to God when I should have been saying, Lord, you've done it right. You've done it right, Lord. Thank you. You protected me. You blessed. Something in there stirs in that natural man. And language starts coming out. God hears it. So you needn't try to hide it. I was down praying one time, and I knew there was this thing in my life. I knew that there was this thing that the Lord wasn't really pleased with, and that he wanted me to do something about it, have a different perspective about. And I didn't feel like I was really ready for it. I just wasn't there. And I got down and was praying. And I'm going to tell you, I prayed just for a little bit, and that thing come up before me like a giant mountain. It was like a big foe before me. I just plain stopped. And I literally opened my eyes, sat back, shook my head. Mentally put it, can you do that? I can. I can mentally do that. I can put stuff out of my mind. But I just put it aside and started praying because I wanted to pray. I wanted to be saved. I want to talk to the Lord. And I prayed for just a little bit, and that thing popped up again. Boom. I stopped. Got it out of my mind. I'm going to fight this till I pray. Amen. Started to pray again. Pops up again. And the Lord said, Marty, you just as well pray about it. I already know. And you know, I mean, it may sound funny, but it was like a light to me. Why am I doing this? I always thought I was a pretty rational person. That's ridiculous. That's plain ridiculous. There's only one person in the room. There's only one person that's hearing this. And he already knows. And see, I was in prayer, so I wanted it to be right. Honorable. Right. You know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, I got something here that's bigger than I am. And I just don't hardly feel like I'm ready to deal with this thing at all. But I need your help. I need you to help me with this right here, because it's bigger than I am and I can't do it. And you know, the Lord started dealing with me and took care of it. He'll hear everything. Lord, help us. As we go to our jobs, those people on the job, it may seem so far removed from the Monarch campground. It may be so far removed from your local congregation. It may be so far away from your devotional area at home or the scriptures. It may be so far removed from what you have labeled religious. But you can't do that with God. You can't You can't put it off and say, I'm going to categorize my life. I knew a guy that I liked the guy real well. He got saved when I worked for, we subcontracted from him, but I worked at the mines that he owns. And he got saved. Well, I enjoyed talking to him, and he would talk about the Lord, and we enjoyed talking about one another. And one day, he was talking about business, and he said something about business, and he went, I'm going to tell you what, he was ruthless in business, and he was dishonest in business. And he told me right off, I was shocked by it, and he said, listen, I don't mix religion and business. See, it's not that religion needs your business. Your business needs your religion. Your business, you can't separate, you can't categorize in your life little sections that it's okay. It's not okay. You're talking to the Lord about these kind of things. Oh, I had a job one time. I'm just telling you my heart today. I had a job one time, and the boss told me that my job, well, it wasn't much of a job. I was given a backsite on a surveying crew, and the deer liked to eat the flagging. And so the job was that every station we had a flagging, a piece of flagging on with a number, and you used to fold it up and put a rock on top of it so that the deer wouldn't get it. And so we're going along on the side of a steep mountain, and I look around. I look all over the place for a stone to get on there. I couldn't find anything. Finally, I found one to put it on there. And so, I ended up putting it on, and I just kind of put it on there, like give it a little drop, thought I'd drop it on there. And it hit and kind of stepped up on its head, and I watched that thing down the mountain. And I said, hey, I can't even find a rock around here. And I started going on. My boss told me to put a rock on it. And I tried. I tried to put one on it. My boss didn't say try to do it. He said to put one on there. Well, I just took off. Hey, listen, I was saved. You know what I'm saying? I was living for the Lord. And I walk a little ways, and just as plain as day, not as eye service as men pleasers. That just got, I'm telling you, not as with eye service as men pleasers come to me. And I stopped and said, I wonder where there's a rock at. You know why? I have a language. I have a language that goes up to God. But ask unto the Lord. Ask unto the Lord. Folks, who you are inside today is ask unto the Lord. It isn't asked unto Marty. It isn't asked unto the preacher, to the church, or the grave. It is asked unto the Lord. Everything that you do and are is asked unto the Lord. When you have that place and you have this frustrations, okay, maybe you conquer it and you don't sling the hammer across the room. Good. You've got to step ahead. But when you boil so much of this stuff and send that up there, you're doing it to God. Lord, help us. Should be a praise in a heart, a thanksgiving in a heart, and a joy for your salvation. I know there's battles, folks. I'm not bringing this to a high place. I just want us to consider today that the salvation is deeper than some kind of an external thing. It's to be lived out in reality and truth till we can testify. You know how hollow my testimony is when I say, brother, there's victory. There's victory in our lives over bitterness. Oh, you mean acting bitter. There's victory over the disappointments of life. You mean acting disappointed. No. I'm going to tell you, when we get that experience, we can testify of a God that we have in us. This is the realities. I have many battles. But I'm going to be honest with you. All my battles mainly are where you don't see. That's just the truth. It's just the battles that I have with dealing and coping and doing those things is inside where nobody ever sees them. And I wonder, would we be willing if we all could to have if you would, a confessional or a confessing of our thoughts today to say, Lord, show the board into a screen and show everybody the way I think and what I think about them. Well, no, we wouldn't want to go there, would we? Well, good. I'm glad we don't. But the God that sees us hears us. The God that we serve knows those things. And we strive for all kind of things. Lord, help us to know how. Well, don't we? I mean, we're a people that are particular about the Scriptures. Thank God we're particular about them. We ought to be particular about them. If the Bible says something, we ought to best we can understand it and live to it. Not try to turn this, change the Scripture to suit me, but to suit me to the Scriptures. We ought to take the Scriptures like all those kind of things. Well, I mean, we ought to be careful about those kind of things. We really should. But folks, there's a process of things that we will justify and say that it's okay because we really don't even think about it. But our God set over His people one time and heard them and heard their hearts and said that their imaginations of their heart is only evil continually, and it repented Him that He had even made them. Could you imagine the Lord looking and saying, I'm sorry, I see. I mean, they look good. They strive outwardly for they're modest. They strive for all those things. It's all good. I'm forever all of it, totally. I love the holiness way and all that. But the holiness is deeper than that, isn't it? For me to walk and to do this and even to get up here and to preach and to go away discontented and murmuring and complaining about my lot and those kind of things. Lord, help us. Lord, help me to be able to talk to God with my life. Well, I know He hears it. But you know what? He wants to respond back to. We can receive the heart language back. Have you ever had that experience to where you're in this place and you're thanking and praising God and you just feel God's presence? And when we say, folks, when we say the Lord said to me, I'm not talking about language. The impression. That impression that I know is the Lord, that He comes in my life. Thank the Lord for it. There was another peoples in the Bible, number of them. You could probably think of a lot of them yourself, but there was different ones. I think of Adam and Eve. Adam, we heard in this meeting, Adam comes to a place and God comes down and Adam, what's going on here? Uh-oh, Adam, what'd you do? What'd you do? Adam ends up saying to God, the woman you made me. Whose fault? What ain't mine? The one, had you, Lord, if you hadn't have made her for me, if you hadn't have done that, Lord, help us. Because we're prone for excuses. We're prone for that. Let's own it today. Let's own this thing. You won't read me. You may see some things in me and say, I don't like that or whatever, but you won't know these things of me. I won't know them of you. I really don't. I've had a number of people come up to me in my life. I mean a number. I couldn't even tell you how many people has come up to me and said to me, I want to apologize to you. And I said, well, for what? I didn't know there was anything there. Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, there was something there, and this is what it was, and I want to apologize. I'm sorry, I didn't read your heart. I had no idea. But I'm glad that they're willing to do that. That's making it right. Brother Jim White stunned me one time. He come to me and said, Brother Marty, I need to talk to you. This was years before he died. He come and said, I want to talk to you about something. And he said, I want you to forgive me. Brother Jim, for what? Well, he didn't do nothing to me. He said, I held envy on you, over you. I saw the Lord blessing you, and I got envious in my heart. And I had thoughts in there. Well, I never knew that, Brother Jim. I wasn't doing it because you did. But the Lord knew. The Lord heard my thoughts. The Lord knew what I was thinking. I want to make it right to you. Well, that's the way we do it, folks. I'm going to tell you, you can't prosper with things in your life. Take care of them. And there's times, folks, that maybe going to somebody will cause more. I ain't going to say, I don't know. Sometimes it might cause more damage than you do or start to, I don't know. Be wise. But I'll say this. There's things that need took care of. That God hears. That you speak it to God. And the scripture says, can I say I love God if I don't love my brother? How high is my love for God above my brother? How can I say that I have this love for God with all this thoughts in there? I know there's people that say with their mouths, I love the Lord. But the scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Follow me. Give your heart to me. Give your thought process. Give me those things. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself down. Oh, we have a language today. We have a language of the heart. And the first scripture we read there said, I want to return to him a pure language. The Lord wants to work in our hearts until there is praise and glory and thanksgiving in our hearts to God, until we can obey the scripture that says, in all things give thanks. You know that really means that? I'm going to tell you, the victory that's in that is incredible. When you can honestly get to the place that in all things, I say all things, you really mean that, all things? Did the Bible mean it, all things? In everything, in all things, for all things, to give thanks for everything. You say, that doesn't seem, I'm going to tell you, it isn't about the thing. It's about our ability of faith in God that He is right to run our lives. And in all things, we can give thanks. This seems bad, but I can say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being God of the universe. Thank you for being a God of salvation. Thank you for being in control. Lord, I don't know what it's all about, but my heart is thankful. And that's victory. That's victory. Lord, help us to have thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, help us to have a praise in our hearts to God. Help us to have an honor to God in our hearts. And a goodwill towards all men. A charity towards all men. A charity, hear what I'm saying? I can look sometimes. Oh, I've told this story many times. But I remember being in a place in my life one time that I was really dealing with the Lord about expanding my ministry and helping me to be somebody that can be somebody not only from a pulpit ministry, but I wanted a street ministry. I wanted to be able to talk with people and give God to them. I wanted to be able to talk to different ones and all that thing. Well, I was put to the test real quickly after I was really laboring for that. One night late, went into a gas station and I want to tell you, there was the strangest looking person in there. And they can get strange. And this person was strange. And to my shame, I did. I had a repugnance to it. And I literally took steps around. I did. And the Lord... The Lord spoke to me, and I remember a study that Brother Tony had done, another one, and where he used the word wicked as being twisted like a wicker basket. He had brought that out. How wickedness is just a twisting of what God had done. And the through sin, love is wicked. It's twisted. And the Lord spoke to me that and said, this girl, the wickedness that you see is her trying to get love. She was wanting attention for sure. It was way out there. And the Lord reproved me for what he heard. I sent out words to him. I spoke to him that one of his creation was less than me. And wasn't worth walking to. And the Lord didn't like it. I don't like it either. I don't like it either. But I spoke the language. I spoke the language loud and clear. But the Lord was the only one that heard it. But the Lord told me, you want to be a servant of mine? With that, I had no pity. Lord, help me. I had no pity. I had no charity in my heart for that girl at the time. And I was rebuked for it. I had to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I want to be better than that. I want to be able to have Christ's heart. It's what He wants to. And so, folks, listen. Today, we have a language that we speak to God all the time. Today, throughout this day, you'll speak the language many, many times. With everything that you do and say, you will speak that language. And that's why it's so important that we get it right from the inside out. Jesus didn't come. Jesus wants the outside cleaned, but He spoke of people that got the outside clean. He spoke to them and said they're like whited sepulchers. Oh, they look right, they're painted, they look pretty, they're taken care of on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. All that comes up to me is a stink of language of how I hear it. It speaks to me all the time of evil and of wickedness and of carnality, and I don't want it. I reject it. So I want to bring, this is what the Lord does through His grace and power. He brings us a pure language by changing our hearts to love our fellow man as ourself. To love him and give for him that we would die. Who would we die for? Would you die for anybody? All, everybody. Lord, help us to have a kind of compassion and heart. Because it isn't just to say I want to try to make myself think a certain way. I need the Lord to change me. That I think right about Him. I'm pretty open sometimes, but I'll just tell you the truth. I had somebody tell me one time, said something about these people come to Monarch. And sometimes people, we'll bring people come to Monarch, ain't measured up. And come for the first time and they get saved and they ain't measured up. And inevitably somebody wants to go and straighten them up. I wish you wouldn't do that. But you want to know what? My pity don't stop there. Because you're in danger when you do stuff like that, folks. I know the Lord can lead, but you're in danger because the Scripture said that it would be better that a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. So my pity goes, I can agree with the brother that told me that. Absolutely. But my pity goes more than that. I said, because I would hate to be that person that offends one of God's little ones. You see what I'm trying to say? Lord, give me Your real heart till it shines everywhere. That it goes everywhere in the right. That I don't start getting an agenda or a creed or a dogma or get something that my pet peeve or let me have Christ. Yes, that's right. So that I can have it right in every way. Yeah, please don't offend them, but you be careful of your own soul here. Yes, that's right. Not that I'm going to attack you and beat you down because you've done that, but be careful of your own soul. We're watchmen on the wall for everybody. For everybody. So, Lord, help us today that we learn. Lord, help us because it's Him that's going to bring a pure language to us. He's going to change our hearts and give us an expression to where we can say, oh, I appreciate Brother Randall. He was here yesterday. He testified over in the men's meeting, the boys' meeting. But it was really good about how the Lord had delivered him. And his praise was so rich and real. I mean, he was, and I said, man, that's good because the Lord gave him a language. He's speaking, see? Giving him something in his heart. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to change us from the inside. And we got the whited, we're whited outside. We look right. We're done right. We walk right. We can smile. We can show joy. We can show love. We can show those things outwardly. But because we got it inwardly. And we don't smile and do all those things outwardly. And then go backbite and gossip and do all those things behind people's back. The Lord hears that. It's a language. You don't have to even say it. When you start thinking in your heart and saying it about, Lord, help us. God hears it all. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.